Good afternoon, Senator Searway, Representative DeShane, and members of the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Committee. My name is Jim Connolly. I'm the Director of the Bureau of Resource Management for the Department. I like to think of it as biological facts. That's what we're here for, to provide you with the biology to use in your consideration of the issues that face you. You'll have other folks that come and offer opinion. It's our job to give you those facts that you can use within your process for deliberation. We cover fisheries and hatcheries in a division, the wildlife division, and we have safety education. Those are the three major areas within the Bureau of Resource Management that we cover. And we'll have Francis Brodigam come up as the Fisheries and Hatcheries Division Director and Judy Camuso as the Wildlife Division Director to talk about those. In a second, I'll speak a little bit about the safety education programs that we run. Just a couple quick things about the funding of the department from the federal level. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, actually a significant amount of our funding comes from a 1937 act that was advocated for and passed by hunters for wildlife management within the United States, the Pittman-Robertson Act. And that's generated by a manufacturing-level excise tax on firearms and ammunition that's then apportioned back to the states based on their size and their matching hunting and license revenues. So that's a significant portion of our money. It came from sportsmen advocating for conservation. And when we talk about the things that we do, Judy will talk about some of the habitat management stuff, that benefits both game and non-game species. We have responsibility for both. We take that very seriously, and all of the actions we do within the department actually benefit both sides of that. Excuse me. In 1950, the fishermen caught up and realized that they were missing out on a good thing, so they got the Wallop-Brough or Dingell-Johnson Act passed, which is an excise tax on certain fishing tackle, and then a portion of the gasoline tax, the excise tax on gasoline, also apportioned and sent to the states for wise fishery management. So when you look at that, two significant pots of money that are matched by 25% state money to 75% federal money are driving the department's biological programs. There's also a tax and money that's apportioned to us to provide water access for boating sites. So the department has a strong boating access program, a water access program for fishing as well. But those are things to keep in mind. The sportsmen have put forth a great deal of money and use that to match the dollars that are made available through the license revenues the department receives. A little bit to talk about it, we can provide you a brochure that has more specifics about that. As I said, Judy and Francis are going to talk about the fisheries and wildlife programs, but there are a couple other programs that the department is engaged in that are particularly housed within the Bureau of Resource Management. One is the Safety and Recreation Program. We have a statewide program coordinator, Mike Sawyer, that runs the Hunter Safety and Recreational Safety Program. He works with 10 regional safety coordinators. And then we have a pile of volunteer hunter safety instructors or recreational safety instructors that work for us putting those programs on the ground to keep Maine hunters and recreational users safe as they operate their vehicles. We just started this last year an online hunter safety course. They've done research across the country and found that everybody's playing with their phones and anxious to be able to make use and access stuff, and that having online courses is a wonderful way to do that. So we have a online hunter safety course now. They've actually done research to look at people and the differences between the courses they take, and they haven't found any decline in safety between the people that take the online course and the people that take the in-person course. In fact, in some cases, it's actually shown that the people that did the online course came out with a better retention of the stuff that they had learned, which is interesting and contrary to what you might think. As part of the online course, we still have a field, a practical day, when folks can actually get that experience handling firearms and bows and arrows, crossbows, and working through that. We're moving to online boating safety and looking at other options to improve that delivery to the folks of the state. It was a commitment that the commissioner came and made when he started in the position, and we've been able to move forward with that. We really feel very strongly about that as a wonderful opportunity to reach people and try and eliminate those roadblocks for them to access our programs. The other piece that we've looked at is shooting ranges. A significant amount of revenue that's generated through that excise tax is actually people that shoot, that don't hunt. And they're contributing that money to the pot that actually comes back to the department. And one way to move forward with that was to create opportunities for shooting ranges. One of the things that we advocate, certainly, and all of the preparation for hunting is for folks to practice with their firearms, to have safe, responsible places where they could use those firearms, whether they're just a recreational shooter or whether they're hunting as well or a mixture of the two. So we have accessed federal money again to make it available to clubs within the state of Maine that provide public access range improvement grants, and they have been a wonderful program that's really been well received. Up to date, we've given $826,000 in federal grants out for 27 projects within the state. Local clubs like the Big Pine Club up in Willimantic or the Scarborough Rod and Gun Club that have needed money to make improvements that benefit the folks that use it, but also the folks that live in the area of those ranges to feel less of an impact from a noise issue, say. And those have been very well received. The neat thing about that is that that federal money has been matched by donations and volunteer work by the clubs themselves. So there isn't a single state dollar that's gone into that program. That federal money has been matched, money from the excise tax on firearms, by work by the clubs, either in donations or others, to make improvements. We currently are reviewing $350,000 in additional grants and projects and hope to make those available within the next few months. By the time we're done, we'll have given out $1.2 million back to the folks in Maine to use to make safe places to practice and enjoy recreational shooting sports in the state of Maine. So that's a program we're very excited about. It's really been well received. It's been something that's benefited everyone. Just like our biology benefits game and non-game, having safe places for folks to shoot to help them be responsible hunters has benefited folks that participate as well as those that live in the area. So those are two of the side programs that we're involved with within the Bureau of Resource Management. Judy will talk about wildlife. Francis about fisheries and hatcheries. But if there's anything else I can answer for you at this time, I'd be glad to.
Representative Netto.
So you're finding the online safety, hunter safety courses are as effective as if you went for 3 weeks?
There has been a study done that has shown that the graduates were. One of the things that we have to look at with science is the other factors that were involved. One of the things that they found with the folks in that particular study were that there were a lot of individuals who had hunted as youths that did not require hunter safety because they were hunting with an adult. And then when they went to get their first hunting license, they weren't anxious about having to go through a regular course. They kind of resented that. And when they found out there was an online course, when they could do it at their own time and their own convenience, then they engaged in that and actually came back and bought an adult hunting license and engaged. There's been other work, and they're following through on that to check on that as well to see that it applies elsewhere. In states that they've gone to online classes, they haven't seen the increase, but I don't know if they've all done the same sorts of studies and stuff. But there's certainly information to indicate it's an effective way to train people.
Wow. Can I follow up on that?
Representative, go ahead.
Thank you. Mic's on.
All right.
Now this boating safety, is that an online class also, or is that what is that exactly? And does that pertain to freshwater or saltwater fish boating?
I believe they're looking at it for freshwater. And I think that we could have someone else come back and talk about that, or perhaps Joel could, Colonel Joel Wilkinson. So, but we are looking at those opportunities. They are incorporating some online stuff between shoot, don't shoot scenarios. They're actually looking at expanding those opportunities to help people recognize situations where they can distinguish between right and wrong and the way that they're behaving. The other thing is that they've also found that folks that take the online courses actually like to go back and take the in-person courses as well. They like that opportunity to meet with an instructor and have that opportunity to actually carry it out. So a number of people that take the online course actually turn around and take the in-person course as well. So.
Representative Langford.
Thank you, Senator Seaway. Jim, what's the you're still doing boat launch facility improvements and purchases where possible.
Yes.
Who's in charge of that?
Leon Bucher just left our department and went over to Department of Transportation, and we hired a new person, Deano Circo. And he's moving forward with that program. We've been looking at projects that we've got going, finishing some up. We just finished a wonderful access facility out in Windsor at Surveyed Pond. And it was amazing because that pond is right there in the center of town, and nobody had access to it. It was private property around it. There was some illegal camping and some other situations. And the department was able to acquire a property there. They worked with a local family and put a facility in there now. And now you can go there. And it's just amazing. So we're hoping to increase that program now that Deano's on board, a little bit of a lull while we were trying to switch over. We just put a new facility up in Sebec I'm trying to think of the water body there, but up in that area as well. Wilson Stream in Sebec. So we've, if you drive around the Augusta area and you do the blue signs, you'll see that we've got a wonderful water access program. We work with the Department of Ag, Conservation, and Forestry. They have a sister program. They work more with communities and providing grants to communities. The department sometimes does that, but we've also taken on the task of, in some of those situations, for the department to actually own the property to make sure that the access goes in and is available to the public. So it's an unbelievable opportunity. It makes fishing possible to folks that aren't wealthy enough to own a shorefront property, a place where you can go and just drive to and get out and take your grandchildren or your children fishing. So it's an amazing program, and it's also a part of the resource management work, and comes out of matching federal funds to the state gasoline tax as well, too. So.
Anyone else? Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break just to stretch a little bit. And so.